Tuesday, November 28th, 2006, upon further review, episode number 25. That's right, it's our 25th anniversary, and as you know, the traditional gift for a 25th anniversary is something in silver, but, I mean, obviously that's ridiculous. You guys are our listeners. You know, fives or tens or stocks, bonds, you know, sports cars, we're flexible. But really, whatever gift works for you is just fine with us. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we would like to welcome everybody to episode number 25. This is our 25th show. We've not quite reached half a year, but we're closing in on that quite obviously. And yeah, it's our 25th show. It's a quarter of a century, as my father would say, or a quarter of a hundred. And
now we can drink and we can vote and we can rent cars.
In most states.
I
know, it's serious. We're going to get to like 65 and be like, now we can collect Social Security and we can do other things. But we want to say hello to everybody out there. Russ has returned, sadly, back to his back to California.
Yes.
But we got some very good feedback from him last week. We want to thank, by the way, Avram from the Feed Me Booby podcast.
Yeah.
Because he was a huge fan. Apparently, he and the whole clan was a huge fan. They thought that our review was hysterical, apparently, and they were huge fans and really liked it. And so
and they
we wanted-
made a ten po- an episode 10.5 upon further review.
That's right. Yeah, and it was like a little video cast with like, well, semi-vidcast. I mean,
yeah.
it was basically a part of the review with him putting like captions and things like that.
It
so
was fun.
So we really appreciate that. Thank you very much. He also left us a review, I noticed, on iTunes. So
oh, cool.
Thank him very much. And you guys should go check that show out because it's fun. And otherwise, we just want to thank everyone for the continued listening. Our numbers continue to rise. They went up again last week, and we're going to again surpass our number of visits and hits for the month this month. So that's good. So
which is good because Greg checks it.
I do.
All the time.
I'm a stats guy. I want to know what our stats are.
Right.
So in honor of our 25th episode, we have four things. That's right, not three. Four things
four
that we're going to throw out on the docket for tonight. We're going to start by reviewing Friendly's Restaurants. This is a American restaurant, which may be familiar. It's going to be something familiar, I think, mostly to people in the Northeast, I guess. But
East Coast, actually.
East Coast.
It goes all the way. It goes from Maine all the way down to Florida, and it goes a little bit west out to Ohio, but
okay,
pretty
right.
much it's exclusively East Coast.
So we'll be talking about that. It's one of our more
it has a special place in Greg's heart.
That's correct.
Then we're going to review our second book, Greg.
Right. That's right. Our second book, which is a book that I have just finished reading for the first time. I'm ashamed to say as an English professor, but, you know, it took me a while.
How long did it take you?
It took me a while.
And Greg is a really fast reader, but it shows, like, how much different reading he has to do and how in-depth this book is.
It's
that it
hysterical.
Took him
it really
how long?
Is.
Well, yep. Anyway, but what is it called?
It's called Bleak House. Charles Dickens' Bleak House, probably his best novel. And people laugh because they're always like, oh, you're an English professor. You just get to read all the time. I'm like, no, I don't. I get to grade all the time and wish that I could read.
He gets to read a lot of papers.
Oh, my God. You know, one day when we get noticed, I can just focus in on reading and writing and doing the show. That'll be my goal.
Right.
Anyway, so we'll be doing that. And then the third item on the docket will be the movie Stranger Than Fiction. It's the new one that's out with Will Ferrell, which Clea has seen, but I have not seen. So that way we'll balance each other out in terms of things we've seen and or read that the other
right.
one is not. And then we will conclude in our podcast section by reviewing a new one from the Smart Bomb Radio Network, according to Will.
Right.
Will Ross has got a new one for us called Barfly. And so we're going to be taking a look at that podcast at the end.
Okay.
So let us get cracking with Friendly's. And I guess what we want to start by saying about this is, for those of you who don't know, Friendly's, as I said, is a restaurant, as Clea says, on the East Coast, which originally started in Springfield, Massachusetts, back, I think, in the early 20th century. I want to say maybe 1930s or 1940s. And they were well known for being a place that had sort of standard American food, and burgers and, you know, fish sandwiches and things like that. But they were also well known for their ice cream. And when they got bought, I think, I don't remember when they got bought, I want to say maybe mid-80s or something, they got bought by the Hershey Corporation. And so all of a sudden they became this place that had more or less the same kind of food, but then they added in all of these, like, you know, candy sundaes. And so they've got the Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup sundae and all these other kinds of things. They're sort of a traditional Americana restaurant.
Right.
It is a sit-down restaurant, but the menu is relatively standard. So they're in that Applebee's, 99's, Chili's kind of mold, except that they've been around longer than those places. places. And right. I think in some ways...
Just step up from a diner kind of food.
Yeah, I would say that's true. You know, what I like about them in particular, Cleo said it's close to my heart. It's because when I was young, I used to go with my father there all the time. And we would get a meal normally and we would split sandwiches. I would have half a fish majig and half a big beef, which is their hamburger. And he would have the other. And then we would normally get a sundae or something like that and talk. And so it's always been a place that was close to my heart. And it's a place that's not expensive. You know, it's like the food tends... I mean, it's gotten a little more expensive over the years.
Yeah, it's gotten a little bit more expensive.
But it's not. It's still not overboard. I mean, compared to what a lot of standard prices can be at these places, it hasn't gone overboard, and their ice cream has always been good too.
Yeah, and you can make really great sundaes. And then they also do those things that were started by Dairy Queen, the Blizzard, but it's been co-opted by everything, including McDonald's now, where right. they take the standard soft serve ice
cream. It's called a flurry, right?
It's called a
in McDonald's
flurry.
Yeah.
In McDonald's. What's it called? A frenzy. A frenzy. where you take the soft serve and you can put whatever you want into it. I highly recommend the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah, it's solid.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good standard meal. I've found that the quality is pretty consistent wherever you go. And now, again, it's just a step up from a diner. So the food is going to be standard fare. The salads are going to be majority iceberg lettuce. But it does have a lot of variety, and the food is decent.
Yep.
And the ice cream is quite nice.
Yep.
And then I've also found that the service is, for the most part, friendly.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds kind of stupid, but they are.
No, it's true.
They're usually always quite friendly. And, you know, sometimes I find that there's a delay in service. Like, I don't...
My dad even used to say that way back in the day. Like, they were always shocked to see people coming in on Fridays. I don't know.
Like,
I'm
like,
not sure why that
you
is.
You order, but... and it takes a while sometimes to get your order for a place you would think would be really quick.
Yeah.
But they never... It's not the waiter. They don't forget you. But I don't know. Maybe the chefs are just always slow. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, and the food, you know, they've also added some choices over the years, but the nice thing is that they've always maintained a kind of base menu. So
right.
They've always got like that fish-a-ma-jig thing I mentioned, which is just a funny name for a fish sandwich.
Right.
They've had that same fish sandwich like since the restaurant opened, and apparently it's never going to go away. So even if they add all these clam baskets and clam strips and these other kind of deals, you know, they're not going to affect the sort of core menu, which I think is nice.
And you said that it was sit down, but actually the ice cream you can,
you can order out.
Like
That's
a special
right. yeah.
window where you can go and just get the ice cream ordered out.
They also are famous for one other thing, you know, something we need to get.
The ice cream cake, the Jubilee.
The Jubilee roll.
Yeah,
because every year they have this Jubilee roll, which is, I mean, to be perfectly honest, now I'll admit that's a little bit nostalgic on my part. It's not amazing. It's just something that I remember from my childhood. Yeah. But again, though, their ice cream, I mean, keep in mind, when I was growing up, a lot of their ice cream, like their chocolate marshmallow ice cream, was really good quality, again, for that sort of level of food. Like, I wasn't, you know, is Häagen-Dazs ice cream better? Yes. It's also three times as expensive as what you're going to get at a Friendly's. So they actually have Friendly's half-gallon ice creams that they even sell in stores and things like that, that they don't just do from the restaurants themselves. So it's a cool restaurant. I like it. It's a cool place, and it's one of those places that's very sort of laid back. I always find the atmosphere is kind of cool just to hang out with friends.
Yeah.
You never feel like you're being rushed
out
of there.
Never feel like we're rushed. Yeah, in college and graduate school, we used to always go there and hang out and just talk and go like late at night. And it's still pretty cool.
So you can find their website at www.friendlys.com, FRIENDLYS.com. And, you know, again, for our Australian listeners, for people, you know, our far, because I know we have listeners from overseas, obviously.
I know
this isn't going to help you guys. And I'm sorry. Like, I wish we could review Australian
level
restaurants.
But they now can be down with the lingo.
That's right. Exactly. So, and I'm actually just looking at the states, and they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They've got 16 different states, including South Carolina.
Yeah. But I told
and Florida,
you, like, they're all up and down the East Coast.
Up and down the East Coast. Yep.
So what's the verdict?
So I would give Friendly's, I think I would give them an 8 out of 10. I think they're really cool.
No. Greg, quality. Come on. It's a great place to go, but the quality and the service could be improved.
But what are you looking for, though? I mean, are we comparing this to, like, remember...
And the prices have gotten a little bit higher.
Remember, though, when we went back in the day, when we reviewed places, you know, these many episodes ago, when we reviewed Per Se and, you know, the Mexican restaurant and stuff, we tried to review them on their own terms. Like, I'm not going there to get Per Se quality food. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not going there to get, you know, Tex Tex-Mex or some like specialty food. I'm going there because I want sort of standard Americana food done right with reasonably friendly service.
All
under
right,
those circumstances,
seven.
Don't you think?
Seven.
Seven?
Yes.
Mm, all right. Okay.
All right.
7 out of 10 for Friendlies, but I like it. It's a high seven. It's a high seven. Okay. Next on the docket is Charles Dickens' book, Bleak House. And if you want to find a review, if you want to find a sort of description of this, you can go to charlesdickenspage.com. That's charlesdickenspage.com/bleakhouse. BLEAKHOUSE. Bleak House is...
I can't get over that we're going from Friendlies to Bleak House.
To Bleak House. Somewhere Bernadette's like... I know.
Poor
what can we say?
Dead.
What can we say?
All right. So was his ninth novel, right?
That's correct. His ninth novel. Ninth. And I assume everyone out there knows that Charles Dickens is a famous English novelist who's probably best known for A Christmas Carol.
Right.
But especially given the season. In fact, we might end up reviewing that, you know, The Christmas Carol, when we get closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also obviously done an enormous number of great novels. You had Great Expectations and David Copperfield and A Tale of Two Cities and of course, this one, Bleak House. And I already mentioned A Christmas Carol and a number of others. And I guess the thing that I really like, I mean, Clea and I had that little discussion once where we're like, who would we have over for dinner, you know, if we could have everyone from history. And one of the people that I wanted, and we both love The Christmas Carol, is Charles Dickens. Part of the reason that this particular book is so good, oh, and I forgot Oliver Twist, too. One of the reasons that that Charles Dickens is such a good novelist and this particular book is so good is that there's never been anybody better, in my opinion, at characterization, at coming up with memorable characters that you remember forever and you think, wow, like who forgets Tiny Tim? And you think to yourself, okay, but it's sentimental and it's this and it's that. Well, yeah, it's sentimental, but you never forget the kid with the crutch who, you know, everyone wonders if he's going to live or die. You never forget a character like Scrooge. Oliver Twist. You never forget these kinds of characters. And part of the reason is that Dickens is so good at kind of expressing the essential qualities of what makes them who they are.
Right.
And when you combine that with the fact that Dickens was deeply compassionate and he cared about the poor. He was poor himself originally growing up. He had to work from a very young age. And he was able to somehow bring that to bear in his work. I think in some ways Dickens almost gets overlooked. I know everybody thinks that he's great, but I think they always think of him as like, oh, he's like a Norman Rockwell type of writer, and he's fine, but he's much more than that. And if you look at a book like Bleak House, you can really see that. Very briefly, Bleak House, which is also, I think, his longest book, is told from two perspectives. One is the kind of third-person omniscient narrator perspective, where you have people looking at different characters in the book. For example, Lady Dedlock, who is this very cold and haughty woman who's hiding a secret. And then you have Mr. Tulkinghorn, who is her lawyer, who's also this kind of semi-sinister figure in the background. Then you have the main character of the book, besides that, whose name is Esther Summerson. And the other half of the book is told from her perspective. And basically Esther is, and I won't tell you the sort of surprise because I'd like you guys to read it, but Esther Summerson is this young woman growing up who is sort of the epitome of kindness. Like if you could think of someone who was the ultimate in gentleness and kindness, this is Esther. And the nice thing about Dickens is...
kind of like a Jane Austen character.
Yes, and even in some ways, sort of less subtle and more powerful, in a way. Less subtle because there's nothing to sort of distract from her goodness. Like, there's never a moment where you're like, well, that wasn't so good. And yet, at the other hand, there's a sort of elemental power to it. The introduction to this particular edition I read, which was the Modern Library edition, made a good point, which is Dickens can get really sentimental, but people who try to say, oh, well, you know, never mind, Dickens was good besides being sentimental, he's partially good because he's sentimental. Right. Because he recognizes that sentimentality is a part of human life.
And then he does it without being mushy. When you see something and you think, Tiny Tim, oh my God, I hate Tiny Tim, it's usually because the way it was directed.
Exactly.
Not in the writing. If you actually read the characterization of Tiny Tim, you find that he's so sentimental, he gives you such depth and puts it in your face so you can really see the cruelty and the things that were going on, but not in a way that's super sweet and simplistic.
That's right. On the other hand, he also is extremely good, and my mother has pointed this out before, he's extremely good at revealing, sort of looking at social inequities and, you know, with sort of razor sharp vision, looking at those inequities and observing them and really bringing them to bear in a way which is piercing and, again, powerful and not necessarily just sentimental, but also sort of powerfully innovative and intelligent as well. So, so Bleak House really is the best combination of these things. It's where he's able to, oh, and I should say, I forgot the biggest part of the book. book, which is that it's set against the backdrop of this generations-old lawsuit called right. Jarndyce and Jarndyce, where these two, basically these parties have been involved in this lawsuit, this civil lawsuit, through the Chancery, which is the court in England, and the lawsuit is basically so huge and so massive and so long that it just doesn't end. It just continues. And the whole point that Dickens makes, which is one of his favorite things that he says about it, is that basically English law exists to make business for itself. So it's this great critique of English law while being the backdrop for the rest of the story that's going on.
Right. And in America, we deal with a lot of the same issues. You know, so it's quite telling, I think, and humbling to see the issues that have been faced by other countries long before, you know, we really were a yep. nation. We always think of the litigic America, and to look at this and to see how society and the law are portrayed
yep.
in England at that time is quite telling.
And you really get the sense that it kind of consumes them. One yeah. of the great things about it, too, is every great book, I think, needs this big backdrop, you
right.
know,
some,
whether it's Moby Dick in the sea, or whether you've got, you know, Heart of Darkness, you've got the continent of Africa.
Right.
What underlies this book is the law and this constant sort of battle which just saps away at the strength of the people who are involved in it, or the people who are, one of the characters gets involved in the lawsuit and it's really horrible to watch because he just can't extricate himself in a
right.
way from how terrible it ultimately is
right.
and so that's very important. Well,
there is a recent movie that has come out that we have
2005
seen,
actually
2005 yeah. that we would recommend as a fairly
yeah.
good version of it,
I
and it
so.
Has X-Files star in it
Gillian Anderson, who plays Lady Dedlock,
who doesn't
and
do that bad of a job.
No, surprisingly, and there are a bunch of other people who are in it as well. That I think you can find. I think it was maybe even BBC originally that did something like that, but
mm-hmm.
they've done several different versions of it.
Yeah,
yes, and if you can see that,
I'm sure you
can
Netflix it if you needed to. Or find it in Blockbuster.
The other thing that's good about it too, and the last thing I'll say about it is that it's a combination of it's got romance in it. It's a detective novel, by the way. I mean, there's a big section of it which is really a mystery, and you're trying mm-hmm. to figure out the mystery. It's social commentary. The one thing that's been leveled against Dickens is that by the time he wrote this book, the legal system to which he was referring, critics have said, was already reformed so that he was sort of overstating the case. But of course, with Dickens, that's never really the point. As Clea just said, if we today still think about how ridiculously overblown our legal
right,
system
right.
is, then clearly what Dickens was saying made a lot of sense. And the fact that there's a human cost to all these papers being pushed and these, you know, words being said. And I think that Dickens really expresses that extremely well. So
right. okay.
I would give this a 9 out of 10. I know it's an older book, by the way. I know that this is a very old book and you're probably wondering, but I just read it. It was on my mind and I just thought I wanted to recommend it to people if you haven't read it. It's not an easy read. I mean, the book itself is fun to read. It's not difficult to read, but it's long and it's just, there's a lot of characters and stuff. But mm-hmm. having said that, it's very, very much worth reading and I think it's probably his best. I would give it a 9 out of 10 myself.
Okay.
Sounds good. 9 out of 10 for Bleak House. All right, the next one that we're doing, Clea is going to take most of the control over. This is Stranger Than Fiction, the film with Will Ferrell, and you can find it at sonypictures.com, sonypictures.com/movies/Stranger Than Fiction, StrangerThanFiction.
Question one. Has anyone recently left any gifts outside your home?
Hmm.
Anything, gum, money, a large wooden horse?
I'm sorry?
Just answer the question.
No.
Do you find yourself inclined to solve murder mysteries in large, luxurious homes to which you... Let me finish. To which you may or may not have been invited.
No.
Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you consider the likelihood you might be assassinated?
Assassinated?
1 being very unlikely, 10 being expecting it around every corner.
I have no idea.
Let me rephrase. Are you the king of anything?
Like what?
Anything. King of the lanes at the local bowling alley.
King of the lanes?
King of the lanes. King of the trolls.
King of the trolls?
Yes. A clandestine land found underneath your floorboards.
Anything? No.
Huh?
No. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. But let's start at ridiculous and move backwards.
My dear?
Well, most people probably have seen the previews, if not seen this movie. It did come out, I think, a couple of weeks ago. So we're not talking that we're right on the forefront here. But I did want to put in a review of it simply because, mainly, I just think that it's a really great movie. I went and saw it with Catherine and Matt
Catherine of Superman fame, Superman show review fame.
Right. And they thought it was very good. But I was blown away by it. And I don't know why exactly that they didn't have the same reaction as me. I don't know if that says... I say that simply to say that maybe I got something more out of it than you might get out of it. But I felt that it was unique. I thought that it was well-written. I thought that it was well-performed. And
well, it's got great actors. I mean, leaving Farrell aside, who, you know, whatever.
Well, but you know what?
Dustin Hoffman and Emma
Farrell
Thompson.
Farrell proves himself. I mean, people really love Farrell. Greg and I have always been a little hot and cold with Farrell.
Yeah.
He proves himself in this. He is actually shows himself to have some depth of acting ability. But yes, it has Emma Thompson. It has
Dustin Hoffman. So.
It has other cameos by some very strong independent actors who are much more in the independent movie scene. It's funny. It's well written. The dialogue is good. The cinematography is good. The acting, it has Queen Latifah. I guess we should mention that too.
I'm glad we left her out of the good actor segment.
No, I think she's
fine,
a respectful actress.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, I think she's gifted. But anyway, I just thought it was so well done.
So can you like briefly summarize it? Like what's it about?
Yeah, so those of you who haven't heard, it's the story of a man who is a very straightforward, slightly OCD accountant. Life is very concrete, by the book, by the number.
And is he an IRS guy?
Yes.
An IRS guy.
Yes,
okay.
He's a tax man. And he wakes up one morning and suddenly starts hearing this narrative voice in his head that is Emma Thompson, and is bothered by it. And the beginning is quite Will Ferrell, you know, of the characterization of him trying to figure out, really reacting to it. And then he hears her say, little does he know that he will be dead soon, something to that effect. And once he hears that, he just freaks out and needs to find out what's going on. And so then he recruits different characters to help him, mainly a literary professor, to assist him in trying to figure out what's going on in his life.
That's and Dustin Hoffman's
that's
character,
Dustin
right?
That's Dustin Hoffman's character. Yeah, okay. And then finally he finds the writer, Emma Thompson, and they try to figure out what to do. It's just, I think, a wonderful film. Just very well developed, very well written. There were so many times where I heard a line and thought, ugh. That's so well written. That's so well performed. I don't know. Maybe it's just in the day and age of, you know, the third this and the sequel to that,
yeah,
and the rehashing of this movie that was done in 1950s and then again in 1970s and then again in 1990s. I guess it's just I found it refreshing.
That's good. So you would give this what rating?
I give it a 9.
All right, then. We'll see. So you read Bleak House, and then... Well, actually, you better go see the movie first and then read Bleak House over the holidays, because by the time you finish Bleak House, it'll be gone. All right, so...
You know, again, I found the cinematography good, but it's not like an epic that you could wait until it comes out in DVD.
Okay, so a 9 out of 10 for Stranger Than Fiction.
Okay.
All right, last on the docket for tonight is the Barfly podcast. And this, as I think I mentioned before, comes out of, and I think this is funny because Will from Smart Bomb Radio keeps referring to this as the Smart Bomb Radio Network, which
yeah,
I think consists of Smart Bomb Radio and this. I think that's the Smart Bomb
well,
Radio.
That's fine. I mean, maybe
but
he's
that's cool.
planning on creating a number of things.
That's right. And this was submitted to us for review. You can find this at www.barfly.libsyn.com.
She pours me another drink and takes the crumpled 5 from the bar. She knows not to talk to me. Twice I deflected her attempts at small talk, just pointing at my empty glass and nodding when she would ask what was wrong. For her or for me? The question has been bouncing around my head all night, torturing me. Tormenting me. The revolver feels heavy. Too heavy in my jacket pocket, and I can't help but reach into my pocket and explore the cool metal. I sigh and take another large swig of my drink. For her or for me?
And you know, it really is interesting, Clea. I don't know if you've noticed this, how these things come together, because this too is a storytelling podcast. I mean, right. If you think about it, the movie's about a storyteller. I just read the book, and then I don't know, and we do all this at Friendlies. That sort of breaks
we're very
down
good at that point.
Forget the Friendlies part, but everything else. But anyway, so this is basically a podcast, and he says that he's up to, I think, episode number 6 of 21 that he's going to have total. All of these are stories that he has written, and he has read by various podcasters. He has one of his stories is read by King Bonk from King Bonk's Campfire. One of them is read by Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. So he has different podcasters reading these stories that he's written, and the sort of common theme is they all take place in this bar, which he is created in his head, and they're very short. They're like 4 or 5 minutes.
It's stories of each of, I presume, each of the 21 characters in
something
that
like
bar,
that,
that maybe that day or something like that.
And it's like, I think it's like 5-6 minutes. Like, it's very short. Each of these ones are.
I don't know if it's that short, but yeah, it's not longer than like 10 minutes. I guess 5 to 10 minutes.
I think five to ten. Okay, so yeah, no more than 5-10 minutes.
It's an interesting concept to say that he's going to be going into this only having 21.
Yeah. But good for him, though, because it also sort of puts a period to the sentence, you know?
Well, I think it's a good example of, I found it quite interestingly intelligent, you know, quite creative. He has a concept, and it's not rigid, it's not way out there. He has a concept, and he's quite cogently creating it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
absolutely.
So we're up to 6, and each one is fairly well written. And each of them has his introduction. It has the reading, and then he talks a little bit about it at the end. And they all are very much him expressing his personal views.
Yeah.
And in a way that the characterization is quite clear, but not hitting yourself over the head with it.
Right.
I think that most of them are read well, although, you know, they're not professionals, but they are professional podcasters. And again, I liked the aspect of this that is similar to some of the other things that I've commented, where it's playing off the podcasting community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, we're all working together. And he says that he wrote many of these with a specific podcaster in mind to read it. And I like that. It really creates a sense of community. And then again, it's a great way for him to support the other podcasts, because then when you listen to this guy, you might then go off and listen to the podcast.
Will is a big contributor over at Podcast Pickle and things like that. I think I'm going to disagree slightly with that. I think that
you don't like that community aspect.
I don't. It's not that I don't like the community aspect. It's that it concerns me. This may just be me. I always feel that there's a degree to which podcasters have to try to break outside the mold a little bit, because I do worry that podcasters are just going to be talking to podcasters. You know, they did a study recently where they were talking about how podcasting has grown a little bit, but how basically there's still a very small percentage of the population that listens. And I wonder a little bit if that isn't because we've all gotten sort of used to reading our own press clippings. And I mean, I think that these stories are good enough that they should be listened to by everyone, not just podcasters. And I do worry a little bit that in sort of the kind of self-conscious or self-referential, you know, I chose this podcaster from the... I mean, you're going to certainly boost your numbers and boost people that are podcasters that are listening to it. I don't know that people that aren't part of the so-called exclusive club are going to be allowed in. And I mean, and I say that, you know, with the recognizing that, as I said, every podcaster that we've talked to since we started doing this show has been nice and polite and has given us, you know, has been very supportive of us, and we've found a lot of interesting, valuable material out there as we've been doing this review show. But I would hate to think that that was sort of it, and there's nowhere else you can go. And this isn't really necessarily specific to Barfly, but I do wonder a little bit about the constant pushing of just podcast, 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 if that isn't in some ways a limitation. I don't know.
Well, but is your overarching point then that you think that it would get more listeners or be a better product if he didn't go by choosing a podcaster, but instead went by choosing someone that would read it the best?
Sure. How about choosing a voice actor? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, how about choosing...
we had some voice actors at that
I
other
know.
Podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, it depends. Like, and of course, now there can be overlap. I mean, like the episode that he has, which I think is called episode For Her or For Me, it's episode 5, which is read by King Bonk of King Bonk's Campfire. Now, King Bonk's Campfire has won lots of podcasting awards for storytelling, and the guy is a great voice. I mean, he's got sort of this breathy kind of, well, I took it, you know, that one of those deals, and the whole thing is noir.
It's a little bit more rugged than what Greg just did.
Well, I... Yeah, you get the idea. So it's one of the, so, you know, obviously he's a voice talent. On the other hand, and I'm not going to name names, but I mean, some of the ones here, it's like,
I will.
They're okay.
I will. I don't like Twilight. He talks over and over about how great Twilight is.
I can't
tell if it's because of the dialogue that she's getting, that it seems written, not words written in such a way that would be spoken. It seems written.
Oh, it seems sort of canned dialogue.
It sounds like she's reading it.
I see.
It's written like it's like you write words. It's not written like you would speak them.
That's interesting. I didn't really notice that with her, but that's fine. That
but also, just from like a preference point of view, I don't want to hear the bartender.
That's interesting.
At all. I would rather just hear the individual first person the whole way. I don't want to hear the bartender.
But I guess the bartender is sort of tying together the stories, though. And that's part of the point, is that she's sort of, you know, revealing
different
aspects.
But she's not in everyone. No, but she's not in everyone.
Well, yeah. I guess I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I you know.
Her essence can still be carrying it through without her actual voice being there.
That's interesting.
The character could be saying, the bartender said this to me, or does this.
Okay.
Like they do in each one.
But I know what you mean. Yeah, that makes some sense.
I just feel it takes me out of it.
The other thing is that, you know, the episodes have sort of different... They're a little bit up and down. I mean, some of them, you know, there's one that's about sort of losing this girl that he'd always been in love with. And it's nice, but there's no real meat to the story. On the other hand, I think the For Her or For Me is, while not, you know, astonishingly different, like it's not like you could never see it coming, but I think it's well done noir. And he said that he was trying to write something that was well done noir, and he sort of had it, you know, with that idea in mind. The one thing I think that Will does very well as well in this whole setup is that, you know, having said what I said about the podcaster thing, even though I wish it wouldn't be just podcasters, but he does a very good job at sort of, he says that he, as Clea said, that he had a certain podcast or a certain voice in mind for certain stories, and I think that he generally nails that. Mm-hmm. I respected Will from, I think he was very good at the Smart Bomb Radio too. It's obviously that he's got a sense of what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows what's going on here, and he clearly has a plan, and I love people who have plans in podcasts, as we know.
Right.
And so I really appreciate that in the show, the sort of niceties of it. Like, there are some parts of the stories that he could edit a little bit differently, I think, in terms of how the story comes out.
Uh-huh.
Like, there are some examples that I noticed where someone will, like, extend a cigarette, and then he took the extended cigarette. I mean, you don't need to say extended twice there. You could say, you know, he took the extended cigarette, he took the proffered, you know, smoking device or something. I mean, that's off the top of my head. But the point is, you don't have to repeat yourself in that same way. But these are very minor quibbles. On the whole, I think this is one of those things that's quick, it's interesting, and you do get the sense that you're sort of, you know, picking up these different stories. And, you know, Will's the kind of person I could see sort of, if I wasn't going to write something, I can see hiring Will to write something and being like, do these following 10 things and trust that he would know what he was doing in those 10 things, you know what I mean, to put them together properly. Like, Will's the kind of person who'd be good at that, I think. So, so I think Barfly, having said what I said with the podcaster, I think it actually works as a whole.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
So what do you want to say for rating?
So what is it? This is the first one of this type, this genre that I've listened
to. It's really a storytelling podcast.
Right. And so I guess that I would say an 8.
Because of the way it tells the stories?
Yeah. I think that it does a good job. I'm going back and forth between a 7 and 8 because I still...
So am I.
In some respects, I feel that it's less character development and character... what's the word I'm looking for, where he's experimentation, and more him just saying, this is a point of view I have, I want to express it through this character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I don't think is a bad thing.
No, not necessarily.
I mean, that's what most, you know, olden folk tales are about.
Sure.
Right, is telling a particular moral. But yeah, I think The consistency isn't as much there with respect to the producing too. I mean, some is silent, some has music in the background, which I felt kind of detracted. Actually, I didn't like that. I don't like the Twilight aspect. The dialogue takes me out of it, and I think affects the quality. I think a 7 for me.
Yeah, I can see a 7. I mean, I'd be sort of rotating between a 7 and an 8 also. Although I wish that we could almost add to our ratings, like, trending one way or the other. Like, to me, this is like a 7 that's trending upwards.
Well, it's early, right?
Right.
I mean,
they're only up to episode 6 of
21.
We
only listened up to 6, and yeah, we don't know how it's going to go from there.
Yeah. But I would say a 7. I think this is a show that shows a lot of promise, as did Smart Bomb Radio in a very different way. Oh, one other thing I want to say. I also am really impressed by the fact that Will's able to change it up like this. I mean, this is a very different kind of thing from Smart Bomb Radio.
Right.
And I really give him a lot of credit for that, because he's really able to change things up. And good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, and I really... So I do like the show. And yeah. I think it's a 7. And I think you
That's
guys
nice.
Go.
And it's like short little tales that you can just put on your iPod and listen. And it's,
yep.
it's quite nice. And it's also nice to hear someone having a similar point of view or expressing something, a struggle that you two have felt or know about.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you guys should go check it out. So a 7 out of 10 for Barfly.
One quick thing that I just wanted to say that I forgot to mention last week. I thought it was quite interesting that I'm not sure everyone knew that YouTube won the Time Magazine Best Invention of 2006.
Which I don't know what to make of that.
I am just like, you know, on the one hand, I think, okay, I understand the point of view. But on the other hand, I'm like, oh my God, come on. It beat out like gas equivalent, you know.
An artificial brain. Like, people can walk again with this new brain. But these people get to watch tuba players doing Bob O'Reilly. You make the decision.
Like,
they heard our review. It's our fault, babe.
Cars that don't need gas, you know, are beat out by... You could go here and watch...
And watch a monkey
cats,
playing cymbals.
No, cats poo in the toilet.
Yeah,
I
hey,
don't
man,
know.
You know, like, this is your fault. You wanted to review YouTube. They heard it, and they were like, all right, well, upon further review said it, we must follow. But anyway, congratulations to YouTube for Best Invention of 2006. All right, that's going to bring episode number 25 to a close. We want to thank everyone again for sticking with us through 25 shows, and we hope to be here much, much longer, 25 and more, and on into infinity, to infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say.
Right.
And we want to thank everybody, as always, for supporting us. Please spread the word about us. Leave the reviews on iTunes. Do all that good stuff. Leave feedback. Leave things for us to review if you want us to review stuff. Again,
oh, are
that
we
friendly
on
reminder.
Some, like, podcast war or something, did you say?
Well, yeah, you can go vote for us over at Cast Wars at Podcast Pickle. I heard a rumor that we got entered in the Podcast Peer Awards, so if you are yourself a podcaster and you're not offended by what I said about podcasting, which is in no way meant to be a negative. I was just saying to think outside the box.
Well, but I
so you
did
should
like
go over
it,
there
remember.
And yeah, I'm
and
not
I
saying
would have
I don't
no
like podcasters. I like
reading one of his stories.
We're doing a podcast. I like podcasters. I'm just saying, let's think outside the box. Anyway, so if you want to go over to Podcast Peer Awards and give us a vote there, that would be cool as well. Otherwise, all the best for the coming week, and we'll see you guys next week for episode 26. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Have a good week.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!